Good morning, welcome to our worship today. The focus of our service on this Palm Sunday is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as we ponder that, we'll also contemplate his passion and death on Calvary's cross. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Dear friends in Christ, for 5 weeks of Lent, we have been preparing for the celebration of our Lord's Passion. And today, then, as we gather to begin the solemn celebration of Holy Week, Jesus entered in triumph into his own city to complete his work as our Messiah, to suffer, to die, to rise again. Let us remember with devotion his entry that culminated at the empty tomb, and let us follow him with a lively faith. United with him by our baptism, we share in his resurrection and new life. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We pray. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palm on his path, so may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our epistle lesson is from Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's word. And our gospel lesson is from Mark chapter 11, the first 10 verses. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, Jesus sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of our Lord. We turn then to our message today. It'll focus on two readings, first from the Old Testament and then also from the Epistle of Revelation. If you could picture this, picture me having a glass that is full with water, filled to the rim. That's Jesus, filled to the rim with all of his power, all of his glory, as the eternal and almighty Son of God. There is nothing Jesus can't do. There is nothing Jesus doesn't know. There is no one above him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But I'm going to empty that glass now. And so I have an empty glass here in my hand. That's what happened, what Jesus did when he became a man. He emptied himself of his glory and power. In heaven, Jesus laid aside that royal crown and he came to this earth to live and die in a lowly way. And that's how we start Palm Sunday. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Sunday, he did so on a donkey. The Savior of the world came into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. Yet, as you look very closely, on that donkey, you see glory. The glory that will culminate 5 days from now in Jesus dying on Calvary's cross. And so today we ponder the glorious death for you. Our first reading comes from the prophet Zechariah, and he describes Jesus' humiliation. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." When I was a young father, working with my young children to help them learn baseball skills, we played catch. Now, I didn't throw the ball back as hard as I could to them. No, you softly tossed the ball back and forth. You don't want to get them hurt or frustrated, so you stoop down to their level. And that's what Jesus did at his humiliation. He came down to our level. He gave up his power as the Almighty Son of God to become the Son of Man, to live, to die in a very lowly way. And why did he do that? Simple, to save us. It was in that humility that Jesus revealed his greatest glory. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he may not have looked like a king, but he had something that no other king before or after him had. Your king comes to you righteous and having salvation. Jesus had righteousness. In recent years, we have given and been given, or we've seen numerous examples of people being nominated for a public office, only to withdraw their name because of the revelation of some serious mistake or scandal or failure from their past. And we should add, it's not only those who are seeking the public office, but those who are in the public office who are bombarded with the revelation of serious mistakes or scandals or failures from their past. And what do we do about that? We usually just shake our heads and think, that's awful. But check, or let me ask you, how would you welcome that kind of scrutiny? If the FBI ran a background check on you, if your neighbor, co-workers were interviewed, your high school, college classmates would have an opportunity to share stories about you, would you pass the mustard? Would anyone? Jesus did. He was righteous, which means exactly what it says. He was sinless, perfect, without any flaw. And this righteous, perfect, flawless king gave up his throne in heaven to come to this earth to bring us salvation. In our epistle lesson, which we just read, the Apostle Paul reviews how Jesus had done this. It sounds very much like the Creed, doesn't it? Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And the Creed, we say, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Through the conception by the Holy Spirit, Jesus was true God, along with being true man. Yet, as I just mentioned, he laid aside that power. And Christmas cards that depict Mary The Virgin Mary, holding the baby Jesus in her arms, often makes that birth of our Savior look to be so cute and cuddly. From a world view, there was nothing glorious about the birth of our King. Nothing. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Those of you who perhaps would know the Passion history as recorded for us in the Gospels, you would know then one of the readings that I would have just had this past Wednesday. But I didn't just have it this past Wednesday. I also had it last week. And so when I knew that I was going to do it again this week, it was hard. It hurts. Listen to these words. This is from the Gospel. The soldiers took Jesus. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him. They took the staff and hit him repeatedly on his head. They kept hitting him in the face. Jesus suffered in horrible ways by terrible men. We beat him. We whipped him, we mocked him, we spit at him, and we placed a pathetic crown on his head and a robe on his bloody back. We crucified him. But in the cross, we see the glory of God. These past weeks, you've seen maybe clippings of the long lines of people going into the Grand Canyon. Everyone wants to see the glory, the majesty of the Grand Canyon. The cross is the glory of God. It's the ugly cross with Jesus' blood flowing down its side that is the glory of God. In those final steps of his humiliation, died, buried, these are the moments of his greatest glory. It's finished. The glorious work of saving the world was over. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The pain of the cross gave way to the joy of heaven. When Queen Victoria lived in her castle in Scotland, she sometimes liked to walk the countryside incognito. No guards, but a faithful servant would follow from a safe distance. And one day while she was doing this, she walked in front of a flock of sheep. A young shepherd boy shouted, "Get out of the way, you old lady!" The queen smiled and went on. But her servant let that shepherd boy have it. "Don't you know you just insulted the queen?" Unapologetic, the boy replied, "If she expects to be treated like a queen, she ought to dress like a queen." When Jesus walked in his earth, he didn't dress as a king, did he? And without the eyes of faith, he was looked down on and he was rejected. And that's still the case. People want a Jesus that keeps them happy. And even as believers, we sometimes fall into the temptation. And we want a Jesus to take away our problems. A Jesus who keeps us from getting sick or hurt. The child of God rejoices in Jesus who was crucified, died, and buried. The believer rejoices in the salvation that our Savior brings. The believer rejoices in the love of God who took our place. From glory of the King, let's go to the glory of the kingdom. Do you remember what the Jews wanted in a Messiah? They wanted one who would take away those war chariots of Rome. They wanted a Messiah who would bring peace to their land, put food on their plates, money in their pockets. And that's why they were so excited on that Palm Sunday. They wanted to see the glory of God's kingdom, but when they saw it most vividly, there on the cross, they rejected it. Where do we see the glory of the kingdom? We see it everywhere we go. We see it in everything we do. God calls you, whoever you are. He calls you in his field. the field that you're working in or living in? Is your call glamorous, flashy? Probably not. And if you're thinking like that, you're getting the point. The glory of the kingdom is the normal grind of daily life. It's getting up to do your work. It's washing the clothes, doing the dishes, helping your children with the schoolwork. It's coming to church. It's serving in the house of the Lord. It's loving your family and your brothers and sisters in faith. Is all of that glorious? You bet it is. Incredibly glorious. Just as Jesus on that donkey is glorious. Just as Jesus on the cross is glorious. Because Jesus was that rider on the donkey on Palm Sunday, Jesus is that rider John sees in the glimpse of heaven that our gracious Lord gave to him in Revelation. Let me read. John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. That's Jesus. He's called Faithful and True because he was faithful to the promises that he had made. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. The blazing eyes of Jesus tells us he is all-knowing, and the crown that he wears indicates that he is all-powerful. Verse 12, he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Jesus has a name that no one knows, we're told. We can't understand everything there is to know about Jesus. He is huge. We are kind of small. We can't fit something that's huge into something that is small. And sometimes there are things that happen in our lives that we just don't understand. Sad things, bad things, crazy things. Things that we may not like at all. The next time one of those things enters your life, I want you to do something. Look at the cross. Look at the cross reminds us that no matter what, Jesus is big enough to handle it for us. And he loves us beyond a way that we can not even understand. Verse 13. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. The blood in the bottom of Jesus' robe isn't his own blood. It's the blood of his enemies, his defeated enemies. Goes on. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Those are the angels and everything in heaven. It's all white and pure, and we are in that picture as well. Finally, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress on the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. Out of the mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the King of Kings. During this week in Jesus' life and in our own lives, let's take some time just to stop, to consider, and most of all to marvel that Jesus is our King. He is our Lord. His love is so amazing, so divine, that it demands our life, our soul, our all. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray the confession of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we pray the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor, grant you his peace. Amen.